Chapter 2. The Circuit of Productive Capital. The circuit of productive capital has the general formula: productive capital through to increased commodity, to increased money, to commodity, through to productive capital. It signifies the periodical renewal of the functioning of productive capital, hence its reproduction, or its process of production as a process of reproduction aiming at the self-expansion of value. Not only production, but a periodical reproduction of surplus value. The function of industrial capital in its productive form, and this function performed not once, but periodically repeated, so that the renewal is determined by the starting point. A portion of increased commodity may, in certain cases in various branches of industrial capital, re-enter directly as means of production into the same labor process out of which it came in the shape of a commodity. This merely saves the transformation of the value of this portion into real money or token money, or else the commodity finds an independent expression only as money of account. This part of value does not enter into the circulation. Thus, values enter into the process of production, which do not enter into the process of circulation. The same is true of that part of increased commodity which is consumed by the capitalist in kind as part of the surplus product. But this is insignificant for capitalist production. It deserves consideration, if at all, only in agriculture. Two things are at once strikingly apparent in this form. For one thing, while in the first form, money through to increased money, the process of production interrupts the circulation of money capital and acts only as mediator between its two phases, money to commodity and increased commodity to increased money, here the entire circulation process of industrial capital, its entire movement within the phase of circulation, constitutes only an interruption, and consequently only the connecting link between the productive capital which as the first extreme opens the circuit and that which closes it as the other extreme in the same form, hence in the form in which it starts again. Circulation proper appears but as an instrument, promoting the periodically renewed reproduction, rendered continuous by the renewal. For another thing, the entire circulation presents itself in a form which is the opposite of that which it has in the circuit of money capital. There it was money to commodity to money, followed by money to commodity, then commodity to money, apart from the determination of value. Here it is, again apart from the value determination, commodity to money to commodity, followed by commodity to money, then money to commodity. That is, the form of the simple circulation of commodities. Section 1. Simple Reproduction. Let us first consider the process increased commodity to increased money to commodity, which takes place in the sphere of circulation between the two extremes, productive capital through to productive capital. The starting point of this circulation is commodity capital, increased commodity, equals commodity plus surplus value, equals productive capital plus surplus value. The function of commodity capital, increased commodity, to increased money, the realization of the capital value contained in it equals productive capital, which now exists as the constituent part commodity of increased commodity, as well as of the surplus value contained in it, which exists as a constituent part of the same quantity of commodities, was examined in the first form of the circuit. But there, this function formed the second phase of the interrupted circulation and the concluding phase of the entire circuit. Here it forms the second phase of the circuit, but the first phase of the circulation. The first circuit ends with increased money, and since increased money, as well as the original money, can again open the Second Circuit as money capital, it was not necessary at first to see whether money and surplus value, contained in increased money, continue in their course together, or whether each of them pursues its own course. This would only have become necessary if we had followed up further the First Circuit in its renewed course. But this point must be decided in the circuit of the productive capital, because the determination of its very First Circuit depends on it, and because increased commodity to increased money appears in it as the first phase of the circulation, which has to be complemented by money to commodity. It depends on this decision whether the formula represents simple reproduction or reproduction on an extended scale. The character of the circuit changes according to the decision made. Let us, then, consider first the simple reproduction of productive capital, assuming that, as in the first chapter, conditions remain constant and that commodities are bought and sold at their values. On this assumption, the entire surplus value enters into the individual consumption of the capitalist. As soon as the transformation of the commodity capital increased commodity into money has taken place, that part of the money which represents the capital value continues to circulate in the circuit of industrial capital. The other part, which is surplus value changed into money, enters into the general circulation of commodities, constitutes a circulation of money emanating from the capitalist, but taking place outside of the circulation of his individual capital. In our illustration, we had a commodity capital, increased commodity, of 10,000 pounds of yarn, valued at 500 pounds. 422 pounds of this represent the value of the productive capital, and continue as the money form of 8,440 pounds of yarn, the capital circulation begun by increased commodity, while the surplus value of 78 pounds, the money form of 1,560 pounds of yarn, the excess of the commodity product, leaves this circulation and describes a separate course within the general circulation of commodities, viz. Increased commodity, commodity plus surplus value, through increased money, money plus surplus value, through to commodity, comprising labour power plus means of production, and commodity surplus value, to money surplus value, to commodity surplus value, represents a series of purchases by means of money which the capitalist spends either for commodities proper or for personal services to his cherished self or family. These purchases are made piecemeal at various times. The money, therefore, exists temporarily in the form of a supply or hoard destined for current consumption, since money whose circulation has been interrupted assumes the form of a hoard. Its function as a medium of circulation, which includes its transient form of a hoard, does not enter the circulation of capital in its money form. This money is not advanced, but spent. We have assumed that the total advanced capital always passes wholly from one of its phases to the other, and so here too we assume that the commodities produced by productive capital represent the total value of the productive capital, or 422 pounds plus 78 pounds of surplus value created in the process of production. In our illustration, which deals with a discrete commodity, the surplus value exists in the form of 1,560 pounds of yarn. If computed on the basis of 1 pound of yarn, it would exist in the form of 2.496 ounces of yarn. But if the commodity were, for instance, a machine valued at 500 pounds and having the same value composition, one part of the value of this machine, 78 pounds, would be surplus value, but these £78 would exist only in the machine as a whole. This machine cannot be divided into capital value and surplus value without breaking it to pieces and thus destroying its value together with its use value. For this reason, the two value components can be represented only ideally as components of the commodity, not as independent elements of the increased commodity, like any pound of yarn, which represents a separable, independent element of the 10,000 pounds of commodity. In the first case, the aggregate commodity, the commodity capital, the machine, must be sold in its entirety, before money surplus value can enter upon its separate circulation. On the other hand, when the capitalist has sold £8,440, the sale of the remaining £1,560 would represent a wholly separate circulation of the surplus value in the form of commodity surplus value, £1,560 of yarn, to money surplus value, £78, to commodity surplus value, as articles of consumption. But the elements of value of each individual portion of the 10,000 pounds of yarn, the product, can be represented by parts of the product as well as by the total product. Just as the latter 10,000 pounds of yarn, the product, can be represented by parts of the product as well as by the total product, just as the latter 10,000 pounds of yarn can be divided into the value of the constant capital, £7,440 of yarn worth £372, variable capital value of £1,000 of yarn worth £50, and surplus value of £1,560 of yarn worth £78, so every pound of yarn may be divided into constant capital, equal to 11.904 ounces worth 8.928 pence, variable capital, equal to 1.600 ounces of yarn worth 1.200 pence, and surplus value, equal to 2.496 ounces of yarn worth 1.872 pence. The capitalist might also sell various portions of the 10,000 pounds of yarn successively, and successively consume successive portions of the surplus value elements contained in them, thus realizing, also successively, the sum of constant capital plus variable capital. But in the final analysis, this operation likewise premises the sale of the entire lot of 10,000 pounds, that therefore the value of constant capital and variable capital will be replaced by the sale of £8,440. Refer to Volume 1, Chapter 9. However that may be, by means of increased commodity to increased money, both the capital value and surplus value contained in increased commodity acquire a separable existence, the existence of different sums of money. In both cases, money and money surplus value are really a converted form of the value which originally, in increased commodity, had only a peculiar, an ideal expression, as the price of the commodity. Commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value represents the simple circulation of commodities, the first phase of which, commodity surplus value to money surplus value, is included in the circulation of commodity capital, increased commodity to increased money, that is, included in the circuit of capital. Its complementary phase, money surplus value to commodity surplus value, falls on the contrary outside of this circuit, being a separate act in the general circulation of commodities. The circulation of commodity and commodity increment of capital value and surplus value splits after the transformation of increased commodity into increased money. Hence, it follows. First, While the commodity capital is realized by increased commodity to increased money equals increased commodity to money plus money surplus value, the movement of capital value and surplus value, which in increased commodity to increased money is still united and carried on by the same quantity of commodities, becomes separable, both of them henceforth possessing independent forms as separate sums of money. Secondly, if this separation takes place, money surplus value being spent as the revenue of the capitalist, while money as a functional form of capital value continues its course determined by the circuit, the first act, increased commodity to increased money, in connection with the subsequent acts, money to commodity and money surplus value to commodity surplus value, may be represented as two different circulations, commodity to money to commodity, and commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value. And both of these series, so far as their general form is concerned, belong in the usual circulation of commodities. By the way, in the case of the continuous, indivisible commodities, it is a matter of practice to isolate the value constituents ideally. For instance, in the London building business, which is carried on mainly on credit, the building contractor receives advances in accordance with the stage of construction reached. None of these stages is a house, but only a really existing constituent part of an inchoate future house. Hence, in spite of its reality, it is but an ideal fraction of the entire house, but real enough to serve as security for an additional advance. See on this point Chapter 12. Thirdly, if the movement of capital value and surplus value, which still proceeds unitedly in commodity to money, is separated only in part, a portion of the surplus value not being spent as revenue, or not at all, a change takes place in the capital value itself within its circuit, before it is completed. In our illustration, the value of the productive capital was equal to £422. If that capital continues, money to commodity, as, say, £480 or £500, then it strides through the latter stages of its circuit with an increase of £58 or £78 over its initial value. This may also go hand in hand with a change in the composition of its value. Increased commodity to increased money, the second stage of the circulation, and the final stage of circuit form 1, money through to increased money, is the second stage in our circuit and the first in the circulation of commodities. So far as the circulation is concerned, it must be complemented by increased money to increased commodity. But not only has increased commodity to increased money the process of self-expansion already behind it, in this case the function of productive capital, the first stage, but its result, the increased commodity, has already been realized. The process of the self-expansion of capital and the realization of the commodities representing the expanded capital value are therefore completed in increased commodity to increased money. And so we have premised simple reproduction, that is, that money surplus value to commodity surplus value separates entirely from money to commodity. Since both circulations, commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, as well as commodity to money to commodity, belong in the circulation of commodities, so far as their general form is concerned, and for this reason do not show only value differences in their extremes, it is easy to conceive the process of capitalist production, after the manner of vulgar economy, as a mere production of commodities, of use values designed for consumption of some sort, which the capitalist produces for no other purpose than that of getting in their place commodities with different use values, or of exchanging them for such, as vulgar economy erroneously states. Increased commodity acts from the very outset as commodity capital, and the purpose of the entire process, enrichment, the production of surplus value, does not by any means exclude increasing consumption on the part of the capitalist as his surplus value, and hence his capital, increases. On the contrary, it emphatically includes it. Indeed, in the circulation of the revenue of the capitalist, the produced commodity surplus value, or the fraction of the produced increased commodity ideally corresponding to it, serves only to transform it, first into money, and from money into a number of other commodities serving private consumption. But we must not, at this point, overlook the trifling circumstance that commodity surplus value is commodity value which did not cost the capitalist anything, an incarnation of surplus labour, for which reason it originally stepped on the stage as a component part of increased commodity capital. This commodity surplus value is, by the very nature of its existence, bound to the circuit of capital value in process, and if this circuit begins to stagnate or is otherwise disturbed, not only is the consumption of commodity surplus value restricted or entirely arrested, but also the disposal of that series of commodities which serve to replace commodity surplus value. The same is true when increased commodity to increased money ends in failure, or only part of increased commodity can be sold. We have seen that commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, representing the circulation of the revenue of the capitalist, enters into the circulation of capital only so long as commodity surplus value is a part of the value of increased commodity, of capital in its functional form of commodity capital. But as soon as it acquires independence from money surplus value to commodity surplus value, hence throughout the form commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, the circulation of that revenue does not enter into the movement of the capital advanced by the capitalist, although it stems from it. This circulation is connected with the movement of advanced capital, inasmuch as the existence of capital presupposes the existence of the capitalist, and his existence is conditioned on his consuming surplus value. Within the general circulation, increased commodity, for example yarn, functions only as a commodity, but as an element in the circulation of capital, it performs the function of commodity capital, a form which capital value alternately assumes and discards. After the sale of the yarn to a merchant, it is extruded out of the circular movement of capital whose product it is, but nevertheless, as a commodity, it moves always in the sphere of the general circulation. The circulation of one and the same mass of commodities continues, in spite of the fact that it has ceased to be a phase in the independent circuit of the spinner's capital. Hence, the real definitive metamorphosis of the mass of commodities thrown into circulation by the capitalist, commodity to money, their final exit into consumption, may be completely separated in time and space from that metamorphosis in which this mass of commodities functions as his commodity capital. The same metamorphosis, which has been accomplished in the circulation of capital, still remains to be accomplished in the sphere of the general circulation. This state of things is not changed a bit if this yarn enters the circuit of some other industrial capital. The general circulation comprises as much the intertwining of the circuits of the various independent fractions of social capital, that is, the totality of the individual capitals, as the circulation of those values which are not thrown on the market as capital, but enter into individual consumption. The relation between a circuit of capital forming part of a general circulation and a circuit forming links in an independent circuit is shown further on when we examine the circulation of increased money, which is equal to money plus surplus value. Money as money capital continues capital circuit, money surplus value being spent as revenue. Money surplus value to commodity surplus value enters into the general circulation, but comes flying out of the circuit of capital. Only that part enters the latter circuit which performs the function of additional money capital. In commodity surplus value to money surplus value to commodity surplus value, money serves only as coin. The object of this circulation is the individual consumption of the capitalist. It is typical of the idiocy of vulgar economy that it gives out this circulation, which does not enter into the circuit of capital, the circulation of that part of the value produced which is consumed as revenue, as the characteristic circuit of capital. In the second phase, money to commodity, the capital value money, which is equal to productive capital, the value of the productive capital that at this point opens the circuit of industrial capital, is again present, delivered of its surplus value, therefore having the same magnitude of value as it had in the first stage of the circuit of money capital, money to commodity. In spite of the difference in place, the function of the money capital into which the commodity capital has now been transformed is the same. Its transformation into means of production and labour power. In the functioning of commodity capital, increased commodity to increased money, the capital value, simultaneously with commodity surplus value to money surplus value, has consequently gone through the phase commodity to money, and enters now into the complementary phase money to commodity. Its complete circulation is, therefore, commodity to money to commodity. First, money capital appeared in Form 1, circuit money through to increased money, as the original form in which capital value is advanced. It appears here, from the outset, as a part of that sum of money into which commodity capital transformed itself in the first circulation phase, increased commodity to increased money. Therefore, from the outset, as the transformation of productive capital, through the medium of the sale of commodities, into the money form. Money capital exists here from the outset as that form of capital value which is neither its original nor its final one, since the phase money to commodity, which concludes the phase commodity to money, can only be performed by again discarding the money form. Therefore, that part of money to commodity, which is at the same time money to labour power, appears now no longer as a mere advance of money by the purchase of labour power, but as an advance by means of which the same £1,000 of yarn, valued at £50, which form part of the commodity value created by labour power, are advanced to labour power in the form of money. The money advanced here to the labourer is only a converted equivalent form of a part of the commodity value produced by himself, and for that reason, if for no other, the act money to commodity, so far as it means money to labour power, is by no means simply a replacement of a commodity in the form of money by a commodity in the use form, but it includes other elements which are independent of the general commodity circulation as such. Increased money appears as a converted form of increased commodity, which is itself a product of a previous function of productive capital, the process of production. The entire sum of increased money is therefore a money expression of past labour. In our illustration, £10,000 of yarn worth £500 are the product of the spinning process. Of this quantity, £7,440 of yarn are equal to the advanced constant capital worth £372. £1,000 of yarn are equal to the advanced variable capital worth £50, and £1,560 of yarn represent the surplus value worth £78. If, of increased money, only the original capital of £422 is again advanced, other conditions remaining the same, then the labourer is advanced the following week, in money to labour power, only a part of the £10,000 of yarn produced in the given week, the money value of £1,000 of yarn. As a result of commodity to money, money is always the expression of past labour. If the complementary act, money to commodity, takes place at once in the commodity market, that is, money is given in return for commodities existing in the market, this is again a transformation of past labour, from one form, money, into another form, commodities. But money to commodity differs in the matter of time from commodity to money. They may exceptionally take place at the same time, for instance when the capitalist who performs money to commodity and the capitalist to whom this act means commodity to money ship their commodities to each other at the same time and money is used only to square the balance. The difference in time between the performance of money to commodity and commodity to money may be more or less considerable. Although money, as the result of commodity to money, represents past labour, it may, in the act money to commodity, represent the converted form of commodities which are not as yet in the market, but will be thrown upon it in the future, since money to commodity need not take place until commodity has been produced anew. Money may likewise stand for commodities which are produced simultaneously with the commodity whose money expression it is. For instance, in the exchange money to commodity, purchase of means of production, coal may be bought before it has been mined. Insofar as money surplus value figures as an accumulation of money is not spent as revenue, it may stand for cotton, which will not be produced until the following year. The same holds good on spending the revenue of the capitalist, money surplus value to commodity surplus value. It also applies to wages, to labour equal to £50. This money is not only the money form of past labour of the labourers, but at the same time a draft on simultaneous and future labour, which is just being realised, or should be realised in the future. The labourer may buy with his wages a coat which will not be made until the following week. This applies especially to the vast number of necessary means of subsistence, which must be consumed almost as soon as they have been produced, to prevent spoilage. Thus the labourer receives, in the money which is paid to him in wages, the converted form of his own future labour, or that of other labourers. By giving the labourer a part of his past labour, the capitalist gives him a draft on his own future labour. It is the labourer's own simultaneous or future labour that constitutes the not yet existing supply out of which he will be paid for his past labour. In this case, the idea of hoarding disappears altogether. Footnote. Here, Marx made the following note in the manuscript. All this, however, belongs to the last part of Volume 2. End of footnote. Secondly, in the circulation commodity to money to commodity, the same money changes place twice. The capitalist first receives it as a seller and passes it on as a buyer. The transformation of commodities into the money form serves only for the purpose of retransforming it from the money form into the commodity form. The money form of capital its existence as money capital, is only a transient phase in this movement. Or, so far as the movement is fluent, money capital appears only as a medium of circulation when it serves as a means of purchase. It acts as a paying medium proper when capitalists buy from one another and therefore only have to square accounts. Thirdly, the function of money capital, whether it is a mere circulating medium or a paying medium, affects only the replacement of commodity by labour power and means of production, that is, the replacement of the yarn, the commodity which represents the result of the productive capital, after deducting the surplus value to be used as revenue, by its elements of production. In other words, the retransformation of capital value from its form as a commodity into the elements that build this commodity. In the last analysis, the function of money capital promotes only the retransformation of commodity capital into productive capital. In order that the circuit may be completed normally, increased commodity must be sold at its value and in its entirety. Furthermore, commodity to money to commodity includes not merely replacement of one commodity by another, but replacement with value relations remaining the same. We assume that this takes place here. As a matter of fact, however, the value of the means of production vary. It is precisely capitalist production to which continuous change of value relations is peculiar, if only because of the ever-changing productivity of labour that characterizes this mode of production. This change in the value of the elements of production will be discussed later on, see Section 5 of Chapter 15 of this volume, and we merely mention it here. The transformation of the elements of production into commodity products, of productive capital into increased commodity, takes place in the sphere of production, while the transformation from increased commodity into productive capital occurs in the sphere of circulation. It is brought about by a simple metamorphosis of commodities, but its content is a phase in the process of reproduction, regarded as a whole. Commodity to money to commodity, being a form of circulation of capital, involves a functionally determined exchange of matter. The transformation, commodity to money to commodity, requires further that commodity should be equal to the elements of production of the commodity quantum, increased commodity, and that these elements should retain their original value relations to one another. It is therefore assumed that the commodities are not only bought at their respective values, but also do not undergo any change of value during the circular movement. Otherwise, this process cannot run normally. In money through to increased money, money represents the original form of the capital value, which is discarded only to be resumed. In productive capital through increased commodity to increased money to commodity through to productive capital, money represents a form which is only assumed in the process and which is discarded before this process is over. The money form appears here only as a transient, independent form of capital value. Capital in the form of increased commodity is just as anxious to assume the money form as it is to discard it in increased money, after barely assuming that garb in order again to transform itself into productive capital. So long as it remains in the garb of money, it does not function as capital, and its value does not therefore expand. The capital lies fallow. Money serves here as a circulating medium, but as a circulating medium of capital. Footnote. Here Marx made the following note in the manuscript. Against Tuke. End of footnote. The semblance of independence which the money form of capital value possesses in the first form of its circuit, the form of money capital, disappears in this second form, which thus is a criticism of Form 1, and reduces it to merely a special form. If the second metamorphosis, money to commodity, meets with any obstacles, for instance, if there are no means of production in the market, the circuit, the flow of the process of reproduction, is interrupted quite as much as when capital is held fast in the form of commodity capital. But there is this difference. It can remain longer in the money form than in the transitory form of commodities. It does not cease to be money if it does not perform the functions of money capital. But it does cease to be a commodity, or a use value in general, if it is delayed too long in the exercise of its function of commodity capital. Furthermore, in its money form, it is capable of assuming another form in the place of its original one of productive capital, while it cannot budge at all if held in the form of increased commodity. Increased commodity to increased money to commodity includes acts of circulation only for increased commodity in accordance with its form, acts which are phases of its reproduction. But the real reproduction of commodity, into which increased commodity transforms itself, is necessary for the performance of increased commodity to increased money to commodity. This, however, is conditioned on processes of reproduction which lie outside of the process of reproduction of the individual increased capital. In Form 1, the act money to commodity prepares only the first transformation of money capital into productive capital. In Form 2, it prepares the retransformation from commodity capital into productive capital. That is to say, so far as the investment of industrial capital remains the same, retransformation of the commodity capital into the same elements of production as those from which it originated. Consequently, here as well as in Form 1, the act appears as a preparatory phase of the process of production, but as a return to it, as a renewal of it, hence as a precursor of the process of reproduction, hence also of a repetition of the process of self-expansion of value. It must be noted once more that money to labour power is not a simple exchange of commodities, but the purchase of a commodity, labour power, which is to serve for the production of surplus value, just as money to means of production is only a procedure which is materially indispensable for the attainment of this end. With the completion of money to commodity, money is reconverted into productive capital, and the circuit begins anew. The transformation of money capital into productive capital is the purchase of commodities for the production of commodities. Consumption falls within the circuit of capital itself only in so far as it is productive consumption. Its premise is that surplus value is produced by means of the commodities so consumed. And this is something very different from production, and even commodity production, which has for its end the existence of the producer. A replacement, commodity by commodity, thus contingent on the production of surplus value, is quite a different matter from the bare exchange of products brought about merely by means of money. But the economists take this matter as proof that no overproduction is possible. Apart from the productive consumption of money, which is transformed into labour power and means of production, the circuit contains the first member, money to labour power, which signifies, from the standpoint of the labourer, labour power to money, which equals commodity to money. In the labourer's circulation, labour power to money to commodity, which includes his consumption, only the first member falls within the circuit of the capital as a result of money to labour power. The second act, money to commodity, does not fall within the circulation of individual capital, although it springs from it. But the continuous existence of the working class is necessary for the capitalist class, and so is therefore the consumption of labour made possible by money to commodity. The only condition which the Act, increased commodity to increased money, stipulates for capital value to continue its circuit and for surplus value to be consumed by the capitalist, is that increased commodity shall have been converted into money, shall have been sold. Of course, increased commodity is bought only because the article is a use value, hence serviceable for consumption of any kind, productive or individual. But if increased commodity continues to circulate, for instance, in the hands of the merchant who bought the yarn, this at first does not in the least affect the continuation of the circuit of the individual capital which produced the yarn and sold it to the merchant. The entire process continues, and with it the individual consumption of the capitalist and the labourer made necessary by it. This point is important in a discussion of crises. For as soon as increased commodity has been sold, been converted into money, it can be reconverted into the real factors of the labour process, and thus of the reproductive process. Whether increased commodity is bought by the ultimate consumer or by a merchant for resale does not affect the case. The quantity of commodities created in masses by capitalist production depends on the scale of production and on the need for constantly expanding this production, and not on a predestined circle of supply and demand, on wants that have to be satisfied. Mass production can have no other direct buyer, apart from the industrial capitalists, than the wholesaler. Within certain limits, the process of reproduction may take place on the same or on an increased scale, even when the commodities expelled from it did not really enter individual or productive consumption. The consumption of commodities is not included in the circuit of the capital from which they originated. For instance, as soon as the yarn is sold, the circuit of the capital value represented by the yarn may begin anew, regardless of what may next become of the sold yarn. So long as the product is sold, everything is taking its regular course from the standpoint of the capitalist producer. The circuit of capital value he is identified with is not interrupted. And if this process is expanded, which includes increased productive consumption of the means of production, this reproduction of capital may be accompanied by increased individual consumption, hence demand, on the part of the labourers, since this process is initiated and effected by productive consumption. Thus the production of surplus value, and with it the individual consumption of the capitalist, may increase. The entire process of reproduction may be in a flourishing condition, and yet a large part of the commodities may have entered into the consumption only apparently, while in reality they may still remain unsold in the hands of dealers, may in fact still be lying in the market. Now one stream of commodities follows another, and finally it is discovered that the previous streams had been absorbed only apparently by consumption. The commodity capitals compete with one another for a place in the market. Latecomers, to sell at all, sell at lower prices. The former streams have not yet been disposed of when payment for them falls due. Their owners must declare their insolvency, or sell at any price, to meet their obligations. This sale has nothing whatever to do with the actual state of the demand. It only concerns the demand for payment, the pressing necessity of transforming commodities into money. Then a crisis breaks out. It becomes visible not in the direct decrease of consumer demand, the demand for individual consumption, but in the decrease of exchanges of capital for capital, of the reproductive process of capital. If the commodities, labour power and means of production, into which money is transformed to perform its function of money capital, as capital value destined to be retransformed into productive capital, if those commodities are to be bought or paid for on different terms, so that money to commodity represents a series of purchases and payments, then a part of money performs the act money to commodity, while another part persists in the form of money and does not serve to perform simultaneous or successive acts of money to commodity until such time as the conditions of this process itself may determine. This part is only temporarily withheld from circulation in order to go into action, perform its function, in due time. This storing of it is then, in its turn, a function determined by its circulation and intended for circulation. Its existence as a fund for purchase and payment, the suspension of its movement, the interrupted state of its circulation, will then constitute a state in which money exercises one of its functions as money capital. As money capital, for in this case, the money temporarily remaining at rest is itself a part of money capital money, of increased money minus money surplus value equal to money, of that portion of the value of commodity capital which is equal to productive capital, to that value of productive capital from which the circuit starts. On the other hand, all money withdrawn from circulation has the form of a hoard. Money in the form of a hoard, therefore, becomes here a function of money capital, just as in money to commodity, the function of money as a means of purchase or payment becomes a function of money capital. This is so because capital value exists here in the form of money, because the money state here is a state in which industrial capital finds itself at one of its stages, and which is prescribed by the interconnections within the circuit. At the same time, it is here proved true once more that money capital within the circuit of industrial capital performs no other functions than those of money, and that these money functions assume the significance of capital functions only by virtue of their interconnections with the other stages of this circuit. The representation of increased money as a relation of money surplus value to money, as a capital relation, is not directly a function of money capital, but of commodity capital, increased commodity, which in its turn, as a relation of commodity surplus value and commodity, expresses but the result of the process of production, of the self-expansion of capital value which took place in it. If the continuation of the process of circulation meets with obstacles, so that money must suspend its function, money to commodity, on account of external circumstances, such as the conditions of the market, etc., and if it therefore remains for a shorter or longer time in its money form, then we have once more money in the form of a hoard, which happens also in simple commodity circulation, whenever the transition from commodity to money to commodity, is interrupted by external circumstances. It is an involuntary formation of a hoard. In the case at hand, money has the form of fallow, latent money capital. But we will not discuss this point any further for the present. In either case, however, persistence of capital in its money state appears as the result of interrupted movement, no matter whether this is expedient or inexpedient, voluntary or involuntary, in accordance with its functions or contrary to them.